And here we go, 1206, soon to be 1207, here on your hometown station, KHTS, FM 98.1, AM 1220, and hometownstation.com. Matt Frieda here with you until 1 o'clock. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds. We've got lots to do today, lots to cover. The NFL season is coming to an end. We are down to the conference championship rounds, just four teams remaining, so we'll get into that a little bit later. But today, wanted to open the show and cover a little bit of the local sports scene, because we haven't done a whole lot of that here on Out of Bounds in our first few episodes. So today I have a very special guest in the studio, and that is my main man, Jesse Munoz, the sports information director from College of the Canyons. Jesse, what's going on, my man?
Matt, well, thank you for having me. This is always a good time. Excited to see you guys. Excited to be in the studio. And real quick, I got a little something for you. If you remember the last time I was here, you had something for me.
Okay, so that's right, the bobblehead of Jesse.
The bobblehead, the renowned bobblehead. So I wouldn't be a PR professional if I didn't return the favor.
Wow.
So a little swag bag for you.
A swag bag from College of the Canyons, which you can see on camera here. I'm a Cougar alumni. Let me just say, I'm a career changer, as a lot of people know, and I made a home there at College of the Canyons, thanks to the great faculty and staff there, yourself included, I'm very proud.
Thank you. You know, we have a saying at College of the Canyons, once a Cougar, always a Cougar, and you certainly have your roots there, so you are part of our team.
I love this.
And nice, we wanted to bring something to reflect that.
Pullover here, very nice. Look at that. That is swaggy. I love it. This is great. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Got a little pennant. There we go. Got
to represent.
Canyons, go Cougs. Very nice. Very nice. And all kinds of other goodies, stickers in here. Very nice. I appreciate
Absolutely, sir. That's for you.
I will wear this proudly. And let me, again, I want to sing your praises. So I was actually there as a media entertainment arts student, you know, learning how to basically do what I'm doing right now, mm-hmm. be on the radio and maybe be on TV. And so the biggest thing I took away from it was how dedicated the staff was, and I ended up becoming an intern with you mm-hmm. and with Matt Robinson, the play-by-play commentator, and learning a lot. So let me thank you again for that, and what a tremendous job. And let me advocate for we're going to have 1 second here. What's that? Yeah. Andrew, we're going to switch microphones. Okay, that's fine. Let's do that. So I'll take
this one. How's that going? All right, we're back. The biggest thing I took away was how dedicated you guys are, how much I learned, and I want to sing the praises of it, because if anybody's looking to get into this kind of field, go to College of the Canyons. They got great people there, like Jesse, like Matt Robinson, Dave Brill, and they'll put you in a position to continue your career there.
So. Absolutely, and you know, like you said, we came up aces. We hit the. We had a great intern with you last season. A lot of good work. Had the opportunity to have you call some baseball, softball. But always looking for that next generation of interns and next generation of people to join our team. Come, like you said, learn your trade, get some hands-on experience, and you know, become part of that Cougar team out there. So, like I said, definitely a great experience. And now the tables have turned, and I'm here in your world, in your realm here, ready to talk some sports.
It's all groovy. All groovy, baby. I'm happy to have you here, and it's funny you bring it up. I'm glad that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. Spring is coming here. We got the sports being unraveled here, softball, baseball, basketball is kind of on the tail end. Mm-hmm. They got tennis coming out. But tell me, in your words, what's going on at College of the Canyons right now, sports-wise?
A lot of excitement. A lot of exciting things going on. Let's just jump right in. Women's basketball. Mm-hmm. They, as you know, a first-year head coach, and John Wismath was our softball head coach prior to that, took the reins of women's basketball this year, and has these girls playing tremendously. Five straight conference wins.
Wow.
Heading into the second round of conference play on Saturday. Currently tied for first in the WSC South with Glendale College. Had a huge, thrilling victory last weekend in the Cougar Cage. So, you know, some names to shout out there are returning All-State player Lulu Saloom out of Saugus High School, having a fantastic sophomore campaign, ranked second in the state in rebounds, pulling down over 16 boards a game to go with 12.9 points. So, you know, she's having a great year. And again, Monique Feblis, another Saugus graduate, she's out there doing her thing. And again, it's exciting for the program. It's exciting for Coach Wismath in his first year. Got some big things
coming. What can Coach Wiss do?
You know what? He took the reins and, you know, had some big shoes to fill with Coach Greg Herrick, retired with 611 career wins.
Wow.
And, you know, John has come in and done a tremendous job. Now, where he finds the time to do both, that's another question. Because, as you know, we have softball starting tomorrow, 12 okay. p.m. season opener against Folsom Lake College. They're coming down south to pay us a visit. So it's going to be an action-packed couple of days for Coach Wiz. But if you ask him, he wouldn't want it any other way.
He's a decathlete. He's a former decathlete.
He's a coach. If he's not coaching, he's around the facility getting his girls, getting his his fields prepped and ready to go. So exciting there. Men's basketball had a bit of a rough streak lately. They lost last night at Santa Monica College, but some stellar individual performances. Andrew Henderson, sophomore out of Chatsworth High School. I think he's topped the 20-point plateau the last couple of nights. He's our current student athlete of the week at College of the Canyons. They're battling. They continue to go out there and compete. It's just been a tough go here this conference season. Still one more round left. Never too late to make your mark.
Ebbs and flows of the season.
Exactly, like you said. So we'll see how that plays out. Again, we're back in the Cougar Cage next week. So, something to look for if you guys want to check them out. But then, here we are, spring. Spring semester starts in February. Spring sports are ramping up. So we already talked about softball. We know about them. They're here tomorrow. But our defending conference champion women's tennis team also opens up tomorrow.
Okay.
They are hosting Orange Coast College. And so that'll be a 12 p.m. start. We've got a doubleheader. Pick your poison, softball or tennis.
There we go. And they're right next to each other.
They're right next to each other. You can catch it all.
Yeah. I mean, if you climb up in one of those trees behind the softball field, you could really see both at the same time.
You know, and I mean, we have had parents do that.
Have you actually? You're kidding me, right?
We've had some interesting setups trying to get the outfield view for softball. But head coach Patty Labatt, you know, that's a women's tennis is a program that just launched in 2018.
And, okay.
You talk about the stoppage in play due to the pandemic, kind of the break that we had to take, and to come right back out and win a conference title, amazing. So very excited about that group. Got a couple returners, local returners, Ashley Vallarta from Valencia High School, was our number one singles player last year, so she's back. And then Jennifer Russell was an all-conference selection for us at the number three singles position. She's back. She's a Hart High School product. So, again, those are kind of the returners to look for.
Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. There was a point very deep into the season last year where they were still undefeated.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
They didn't finish the season undefeated, though.
So, conference schedule, yeah, they went undefeated in conference to win the title.
Okay.
And then actually hosted their first the program's first playoff match. And lost that one. It was a tough one to College of the Desert. But still, from there, had some individuals and some of our doubles teams go on to compete in the conference tournament. So, again, a lot of things to be excited for, especially when you consider just the youngness of that program.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're already playing at such a high level with high expectations. So we have a championship banner to hang this week before action gets underway, and I know Patty and the girls are all excited
Very nice. Well, it speaks volumes about Coach Patty and, you know, how much she could take that program so far in such a short amount of time. So congratulations to them.
She's been fantastic.
Very nice. And, of course, my bread and butter, you know, my favorite sport and where I got to know you and Matt Robinson so well is baseball. How's the baseball team looking right now?
You know, it depends who you ask. You ask the coaches and they're excited, and you ask them a couple days later and, we don't know, and then you ask them the next day and they're excited again. So I think, you know, just like any spring, no matter what level, it's exciting to be out on the field. It's exciting to hear the bats ping, to hear the leather pop, and to get those guys out there. They open up with some tough schools. Saddleback's going to be, they're always a challenge. We got Orange Coast coming after that. You look at the schedule before we get into conference play, and conference is no pushover either. Mm-hmm. But a lot of top-ranked teams from, you know, Orange County and a couple of the northern schools that come up have those traditions playing with
us. I know Glendale was really strong last
year. Glendale, always tough, you know, and they're in our conference. So, but I think the excitement's there. You know, there's some local kids, too, that are coming into our program, joining the program. You know, we lost some big-time players last year, but that's just the nature of community college athletics. You know, you only have them for 2 years, and we want to get them out. We want to see them come and excel with us and leave as quickly as they can. I think, you know, across our programs, there's never a, oh, stay with us and you could be better. It's a, hey, if you're ready to play, go jump out there and take that next level. Continue on your pathway academically and athletically.
Exactly. That's what I love about College of the Canyons, because like I've said before on the air, is it is it's a community college, but it feels like a university there. I mean, the actual campus is beautiful. I mean, it is like a D1 school in my opinion. The sports programs, they care about your athletic career. If you want to continue doing that, they're going to push you in the right direction. Absolutely. But they equally value your academic career as well. And they want to put you on the best possible path, whatever it is that you want to pursue in the future.
100%. Like our athletic counselor, Albert LaWise, is fond of saying, you're an athlete first. You know what I mean? And so you come here and you take care of business. We'll do everything we can to get you on your path, you know, to provide the support services, get you seen, get you out there. You know, that's the name of the game. But back to the playing field side of things, you know, like I said, excited. We got some new guys coming in, some local kids. So we got Dylan Dazek from Golden Valley. Ryan and Jovan Camacho from West Ranch fame are back with us. Brooke Snyder and Tyler Biggs, a couple of Valencia kids. Brandon Whiting from Canyon, he was with us last year, pitched a huge game in the playoffs against Saracosa. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
Get us into the next round.
Yes, I remember.
So he's definitely a guy with some ability. John Baer, Luke Lemon from Saugus, Colin Yeeman, you know, kind of I think all schools are represented in our program. And then in terms of the returners, the Camachos, Andy Ambrose at third base. Mm-hmm. Couple guys on that pitching staff, the middle relievers are back, you know, and it's always interesting to see how those roles change. As a freshman, you come in, maybe get a few innings, you know, you work for your spot. Well, now you've got a whole year, uninterrupted year, no COVID stoppages to kind of come in and fine-tune your game, get your body ready to play. So I'm excited to see how those roles play out. Xavier Stoker's another guy that's back for us. You remember he was our closer last year.
Throws gas.
Guy can throw some heat for sure. And, you know, just looking at them, they all look bigger and puffed up and ready
to go. Been hitting the gym a little bit.
You know, I mean, I don't know if part of that's excitement or, like you said, the conditioning and the weight room work that our athletes go through to get ready. I mean, they look primed to go. So it's exciting. I broke out the new pack of bubble gum last week to go watch
Big
them.
League Chew?
Yeah, Big League Chew. Right. You know,
which flavor, though?
Ground ball grape. Okay. Always. Always with the ground ball grape.
I like the green pack. I like the sour, whatever
sour
it was.
Apple.
Yeah, sour apple.
That's
I'm
hardcore.
A sour apple kind
That's
of guy.
Hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have brought you stuff. I would have thought about it.
That's all right. You know, there is a convenience store right here if you want to go pop over.
You guys
during...
are well situated.
Yeah,
maybe at the break.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I'll go buy it myself. I appreciate that. And to speak to some of the guys that have now moved on and, you know, used College of the Canyons to their advantage and, you know, to advance their career, Mikey Kane's one of those guys. He was the shortstop last year. And then last I knew, he was going to USC. Is that still his plan? Is he over there now?
So things changed a little bit. As you know, there was a coaching change at USC, and I think kind of things were in a flux. But, you know, Mikey Kane was a guy, West Ranch, came to us, was a star, you know, sought after, had some options. And so he ended up actually at Oregon State.
Really?
Great
is, program
again,
up there.
Another top-ranked program, you know, a foe of the Trojans. Yes. So he kind of flipped sides. But again, a tremendous program. I actually had the opportunity to see Oregon State at USC last year. And I think the Trojans caught up on them for an inning, and then not much more than that. I mean, they're a deep roster, a deep team. So, you know, he's carving out his place up there. And then his brother Doyle ended up at UC San Diego. So
good for him.
Yeah, he's
great
continuing to play. So, again, you know, those are, like I said, those are the nature of the beast here at Community College Athletics. You get these guys, and they're studs for you, and you start to build around them, and then they're somebody else's stud.
Right.
But we love that. We love to see that, and we'll definitely be watching them throughout the spring.
Yeah, and, speaking of the Cain family, I understand, and correct me if things have changed now, like with Mikey, but Lindy Cain is the track and field head coach, and they'll be starting their season as well upcoming here in the spring. Tell me a little bit about that. I know Matthew Ballantyne was a huge star there. He was a two-way star. I actually played football as well. I had a chance to interview him. Mm-hmm. Any other big names there? Anything you're excited about for your track and field?
You know, they get going February 10th, so a little bit of time. I have not seen the final roster. But, you know, Coach Cain, like you talked about, our longtime track and field coach, also coaches both the cross-country programs.
Okay.
So she's another one that's very busy.
All
over the place. Traditionally, our distance events have been strong because of that crossover from cross country. So Milka Osorio is a from Canyon High School. She was kind of our leader on the cross country squad. So I expect that to kind of continue for track and field. You mentioned Ballantyne. I'm sure we'll have a decathlete out there. But again, little too early to say who the leaders are going to be. But I know same thing when I left to come right now, they were out there on the high jump pit and there was kids running laps and there was a couple heading up to the cross country course. So same thing. I think they're all primed, ready to get out there, ready to get back to business, despite the wind, the cold and the rain and everything that's maybe held us up the last couple of weeks. It's just an exciting time to be around the facility and around Cougar Stadium.
Yeah.
Always something.
And especially now, like you said earlier, with COVID now in the rear view window, at least by a year or so, we're still kind of dealing with some of the after effects. But for the most part, we're all back to normal at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to, how important it is now that these guys can very easily get into the training facilities, have full-time practices, pre-seasons, whatever it may be, that maybe 2-3 years ago in the height, the middle of the pandemic, they couldn't do. Tell me, what the big advantage is now that we're done with that.
Sure. I think it changes a lot of things. I think the first and foremost, just the comfortability to be able to, come to work, come to school, get your work in, not have to jump through the hoops or the protocols. College of the Canyons was very adamant about we wanted it to make it a safe environment for everybody, for our staff, for our students, for our student athletes, our coaches. So there were some protocols that had to be followed, and there were some adoptions of rules and processes that our students have to come, go through. And it wasn't easy for everybody, Think about it. If all you want to do is go to class and get out there and play baseball, but now you have to go test and you have to wait for your result and you have to file your paperwork and, all necessary steps for us at the time, but can be burdensome, can be a distraction, can be kind of a downer to, I just want to go out and play. And I think that was the attitude. Everyone was so excited to be able to play and to seize that opportunity back, that they were willing to go through those steps, and it was okay. It worked out. But, man, you think about it, you come out the next year, and that's behind you, and the mental strain of that, and you can go out and just take care of your business. I think that's been the biggest difference.
Yeah, definitely. Do you feel like during COVID that it changed the talent level that was coming and feeding into COC because of COVID, where – there was that uncertainty of maybe moving away, because let's be honest, a lot of people from this area, high schools around here, West Ranch, Saugus, Hart, file into COC. Do you feel like it's changed at all now that COVID's kind of behind us and they're going to different states and stuff like that? Or do you not see that happen?
Community colleges are a different beast. And, if you ask someone at the four-year level, what does it look like? Has it changed? And I'm sure the ripple effect has been greater. But because College of the Canyon and community colleges are, come one, come all, a lot of it's just dictated on your situation, So, that shook a lot of people. That threw off their pathway, their plan, their strategy to get where they wanted to go. And I think that's the biggest difference. We saw people maybe, okay, well, I'm going to take a year off. I'm going to wait here. Or, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to play and see how this shakes out. Some people maybe that were only casually into it walked away entirely. And, I'm retired now. I'm just an athlete. I'm just a student.
Mm-hmm.
We still have kids coming and wanting to play and compete and work hard. But I think if they're coming now and if they've made it through the whole COVID thing, odds are they're probably more focused and more dedicated and, you know, just streamline to their goal.
There you go. Blessing in disguise in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You touched on it a little bit, but I got to say, when I was covering baseball and softball, among the other sports at COC, I got to say softball was probably my favorite because how fun the games are, how close I got to the team by covering them. I know we still have a couple stars returning, but I could be wrong. Ashlyn Heck should still be out patrolling center field. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. She was out there. Ashlyn Heck, our returning All-American center fielder, led the league and triples last year. Just a great, fun player to watch.
Yes.
I mean,
and fun personality.
Fun personality. You know, she's a student worker in our athletic department as well. So I've had an opportunity to work with her alongside her at some of our other events, and just always positive attitude, ready to come to work, supports her teammates, loves the department, loves the college. And, you know, no joke, she's a stud out there.
Oh, she's
great. I mean, she is a leader on that team and a real catalyst in that lineup. And I think someone that Coach Wismat's going to look to kind of lead things, get things going. And, you know, the other name, our other All-American, Allison Melgar, pitcher and utility player last year. I mean, can really – she can swing it. She can throw it. She can field it. I mean, she's,
I remember Coach Wiz had her on the corners if she wasn't pitching, and if she was, you know, not if she was at the plate, she was hitting bombs.
You got talent like that. You want to use it any way you can, and I think that's going to be the kind of same plan of attack this year. You know, a couple other returners. Those are the two big names. But you know, there's Memory Munoz is coming back. She's an infielder. Julia Fuentes out in right field. Brand Tall in left field. Alyssa Silva, Sabrina Engelbrecht. I mean, there's a lot of names. And the same thing as baseball. You know, they had this year together to kind of get things, you know, finished runner-up in the conference, went to playoffs, had a deep playoff run. That was a nice taste of things. And I think now you have a whole off season. You work together. You continue to gel. You continue to get stronger, lean on each other. I think another exciting season on the way. And Coach John keeps them prepped. I mean, there will be some tough opponents, a lot of doubleheaders, a lot of situational type games that, you know, is all designed to get you ready for the postseason.
Yeah.
And so that when you get to the postseason, you know, you're not scared to face a Santiago Canyon that's top ranked in the state. You're not scared to go down to one of those Orange Empire schools. I mean, you're ready to take them on.
Yeah.
And they're a lot of fun to watch. Like you said, they got the plate music going, and they do the cheers and the chants, and it's a fun atmosphere.
It
so
is.
Definitely come down if you guys want to watch some Canyon softball.
That's right. So everybody go head out to COC. They got softball. They got baseball, women's tennis. Men's and women's basketball are just concluding their seasons here, and then track and field will be starting in
February. More swim and dive also starting February 3rd. Coach Sean Kakumu has got his teams ready to go, so we'll start with an inter-squad meet on that first week before we host actually a conference meet a little later in the spring.
Very nice. And everything's free entry
Public. Yep. Everything's free entry. The only games we're charging for right now are men's and women's basketball, but that's a one price, both games. And again, those are a lot of fun too.
There you go. So everybody go on down to COC, go check out some of these great athletes. If you're interested in getting enrolled and continuing your athletic career or just your academic career, I've always been an advocate for COC. It's helped put me on the path that I've been on here for the last 2 years or so. Meet great people like Jesse Munoz, like Matt Robinson, and you could get some really cool swag like Jesse brought me here today. Jesse, thank you so much for coming in. Everyone's going to go out, check out some of the great sports we got coming out at COC this spring. We are going to take a quick break. You are listening to Out of Bounds with Matt Frieda here on your hometown station, KHTS FM 98. 1 a.m. 1220. When we come back, going to break down the conference championship games in the NFL and get a little into Andrew and I's favorite reality TV show right now. Don't go anywhere. All right. Little Van Halen here at 1233 on your hometown station, KHTS. Matt Frieda here with you. Welcome back to Out of Bounds. Just got done speaking with Jesse Munoz, the sports information director at College of the Canyons, talking about all of these sports that will be returning here in the spring, got baseball, softball, swim and dive, track and field, women's tennis, men's and women's basketball. Their season is coming to a close here. And I really mean it. It is a great school over there, great program. If you're interested in getting involved, if maybe you have a son or daughter who's finishing school here in the Santa Clarita Valley, isn't really sure where they want to go as far as that next step in terms of college, and maybe they're an athlete, they want to continue their career, it's a great place to do it at COC. Or even if you're not an athlete and you just want to go learn something, go to COC. I highly, highly recommend it. I did it myself, and I don't have a single regret about it. Plus, I got some really cool swag from Jesse, so, I mean, that was pretty cool as well. Got my little COC Cougars pennant right here. Speaking of Cougars, Andrew, by the way, how are you today?
Doing great, doing great. It's almost Friday, so
yes.
Not bad, not bad.
There we go. We're almost there, almost there. You actually saw our favorite reality TV show, and that is MILF Manor.
I did. I was totally forgot about it. I'm not going to be honest with you. I didn't even know when it was going on, but I was flipping channels, as you do, and it came across it. I'm like, and it just started? Let me just tune in. Let me see what happened.
Okay, and what happened? Because I gotta be honest here. I missed it. I did not see it yet. I got to go back and watch. But you did see it, so tell us all about it.
To catch up, we had our predictions of what it was going to be. Uh-huh. You said the initial trailer for the premiere episode was these cougars, as they put them, you know, the MILFs, as they say, were going to this island to find love, a la The Bachelor and those shows like that. And then they, at the end of it, they turn to the camera and they're all shocked. They're like, oh my gosh, no way. And we guess on what was the surprise going to be.
What was the big reveal?
What was the big reveal? Yes. And we predicted that it was going to be their sons.
Oh my God.
And come to find out, yes, we were right. 100% right. It was each of their sons that were there on the island as well, trying to find love
in front of their mother.
Peers, mothers,
right,
yes.
Right, right.
Yes,
right.
And so, it was as cringy as ever.
As we predicted it would be. Okay, yes. Gotcha. So what were the initial reactions from the moms? Did the sons know their moms were also on it? Or I want to know, how did the recruiting process
Honestly, I didn't know that part, because I think I came into episode 2.
Okay.
It was already established.
Okay.
But it was just, oh yeah, I dated him, or I dated your best friend. It was weird. It was so cringeworthy, but I couldn't stop looking at it. I had to see, what's going to happen. What else are they going to do? They ended up doing this. They were all in a circle, and they played kind of like a two truths and a lie, and it got pretty raunchy for TV. And you're talking about this in front of your mother, who's right next to you, about your exploits. It wasn't great.
I don't think I could do it. You couldn't pay me $1 million
no
way. Mom, I love you, but I will not go on MILF Manor with you. You are a great lady. You are a beautiful lady, and I do not ever want to do that. I mean, the fame that comes with it, I guess, that's really, I think, they're not looking for love. Let's be honest.
No,
they want
to
be on
not.
TV.
Exactly.
They want to be on reality TV.
Right.
There's got to be better avenues to get on TV than that, right?
Yeah, and the things that we're saying, I'm like, there is no way that is your actual mother. You are actors. Because if this is true, my goodness, the amount of therapy that, quote unquote, an average person would need after discussing what they talked about on those shows.
Thanksgiving is going to be really interesting this year.
Yeah.
A lot of new topics to talk about. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the holidays this year with those families.
Yeah, but it was one of those shows, you know, the trash TV that you can't stop watching. It's on for a reason.
It's like a train wreck. You can't look away. You don't want to, but I mean, we all are guilty of rubbernecking, and I think in the same vein of reality television.
Yes, and this is up there on the idea that we thought it was going to be. It's way worse.
Oh, but I gotta watch.
But you have to tune in. And watch.
I gotta watch. I'm gonna catch up. I'm gonna find a way to. I'm gonna jimmy rig the TV or whatever, the FUBU, and I'm gonna make it happen. I'm gonna go check those out. Very good, very good. Well, thank you for catching me up on that. All just to say, go to College of the Canyons and become a Cougar.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. That was the transition. So the NFL season is coming to an end. It is crazy. Every year we wait all summer long. It feels like forever. And then the first week of the season is usually around September 11th to the 13th, somewhere in there. And the first four weeks really don't even feel like real. Like they completely feel like it's still preseason. You know, not all the guys are maybe fully up to their, you know, conditioning and whatnot. Teams are still getting in their groove. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got the baseball season still concluding, which the World Series practically goes into November these days. And by the time you know it, it's week 18 and you're in the playoffs. And now we are down to the final three games of the NFL season. Four teams remaining. In the AFC, we have the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs. So you got Joe Cool, Joe Burrow, taking on Patty Ketchup Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. You know, the Chiefs now in their fifth consecutive AFC Championship game, and they've been to two Super Bowls in that time. They won one, of course. They lost the following year to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, and they will look to get back now for the first time in 2 years. And then you got Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who knocked the Chiefs off in the AFC Championship last year. So we have a rematch this year. And Burrow, of course, coming up short to our Los Angeles Rams as they went on to win the coveted title. It's going to be a great game. First of all, going back to last week, the divisional round, we had a blizzard, at least by our standards here in California, in Buffalo. I mean, to them, it's nothing. But, I mean, on TV, you could barely see the players, especially the Bengals, who were in all white uniforms. But the Bengals just absolutely dominated the Bills last week. I mean, they went up 14-0, and from there it seems like they never went back. I believe it was 14-0. Was it a two-touchdown game in the beginning?
Yeah, it might have been even three.
Oh, okay.
Like they were up big, quick, and didn't look back.
Okay, right. And that was, I mean, on every part of the field, special teams, defense, offense, the Bengals just completely outclassed the Bills last week, which was a little bit surprising for a number of reasons. Number one, I mentioned the conditions in Buffalo, the snow, being at home. You thought that would play to the Bills' advantage. Not to say Cincinnati doesn't deal with that type of weather as well, but you figured all those factors put together was going to benefit the Bills more than it would the Bengals. Number two, the Bengals didn't come into this game exactly healthy. They had three backup offensive linemen who put together an impressive effort to protect Joe Burrow in the pocket and allow him to do what he does. I was really surprised by how kind of lackluster the Bills looked, even on defense. I mean, really, you know, Von Miller is obviously a stand-up. He's just an absolute beast. He did his thing. But for the most part, Joe Burrow was pretty comfortable in that pocket, and he made them pay. And they got up early, and like Andrew said, they really never looked back. I loved the line after the game from Joe Burrow, where he basically said, they asked him about the idea of a neutral site playoff game, where if the Bills and the Chiefs were to square off, that would have been a neutral site because of the DeMar Hamlin game being canceled a few weeks prior to this. Joe Burrow basically said, well, you better start getting those refunds sent out to those people. They had to obviously pre-sell tickets. I think it was 50,000 people had purchased tickets for that game, and they're going to have to get refunds now, as Joe Burrow said. So love that energy from him. Like I've said, he's an alpha male. This guy's just a boss. He really is starting to look like the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, when you think of quarterbacks of the 2000s, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the Phillip Rivers, the Drew Brees, he is of that mold where he doesn't need to use his legs. He is a pocket passer through and through, throws dimes all over the field. Now, granted, has a great wide receiving core, has a great running back in Joe Mixon, but Joe Burrow is cut from that same cloth as the Peyton Manning's and the Tom Brady in his prime, where you give him time in the pocket, and he doesn't even need a lot, and he's going to hit on basically every single pass that he throws. And that was the exact case in Buffalo as they go on, defeat them in a bit of a landslide. The score maybe doesn't show it as much, but clearly if you watch that game from start to finish, Buffalo really never seemed like they had a chance. Meanwhile, the Chiefs took on the Jaguars, and something that was really interesting, Andrew, that I saw throughout the week leading up to that Jaguars game was the Chiefs don't do a good job of covering the spreads throughout this season. I think they were 6-10 against the spread. All this to say, they've played close games even against some of the teams that are a level or a step behind them, and that was the same in this Jacksonville game. So What do you think about the Chiefs heading into this matchup? You know, they did beat Jacksonville, but it was a little bit closer than I think a lot of people thought.
Right, and that was from the beginning of the season, actually, because at the beginning, they didn't really – nobody really counted them in the division. They thought finally a newcomer was going to come out from the AFC West. Didn't happen. They ended up winning. But you said it. It's close games, and the games that you think, like, oh, they'll easily cover the spread, they don't, or, you know, barely win, or – barely cover for that instance. And I don't think the Chiefs are who everyone says they are in that greatest team there.
Right.
And Pat Mahomes went down early. Everybody was just like, what just happened?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you bring that up. I totally had forgotten, but Mahomes did suffer, I think it was a high ankle sprain.
Right. And it was just nothing, just a rollover routine tackle. Just, you know, fell under there. But then Henny stepped up. You know, Max man up, and it was great in the fact that, you know, they were able to do that, but they know where they're weak at. Yeah. They're not the team that's unstoppable.
Right. They don't have a great defense by any means.
No, not
this
at
has
all.
Kind of been their case for the last few years. They're an right. offensive team, obviously, under Andy Reid, but if they aren't firing on all cylinders, if an opposing defense can find a way to disrupt them in any way, they don't have that defense as their backbone to, you know, rely on and get multiple stops in a row while the offense kind of figures it out. So they have weaknesses for sure.
They're not the big bad Chiefs that everyone thinks they are,
yeah,
or have been in recent years past. And that team, honestly, is the Bengals for me.
Yeah.
Is that big bad team that they're through and through just lighting it up. Like, you could say that about Philly, but that I think Philly, after as great as they are, they're kind of under the radar on everybody, because they've been kind of so good for this whole season. Everyone's like, oh, they're good. But you see the Bengals coming out, and they're fighting. They're getting it done, but with kind of like swag and like, this is football, and this is how it should be played.
Yeah. And how about Zach Taylor, the Bengals head coach, who went 2-14 in his first season? And then they obviously were able to draft Joe Burrow after that. And then lost Joe Burrow to the ACL injury 2 years ago. And then went to the Super Bowl last year. I mean, I think it speaks volumes about Zach Taylor as the head coach of Cincinnati. He has really stepped into his own and brought this team together.
Oh, turned the team totally around. And with having Joe Burrow and, like you said, coming back from that injury, not discounting him out, not saying, oh, this guy's done, let's trade him for whatever, and just going with the group of guys he had, you know, get some pieces here and there, but just building that team and from the ground up, basically, and now it's showing it on the field.
Yeah.
That
was a thought, actually. After Joe Burrow had torn his ACL, I guess this would have been the 2019-2020 season, his rookie year, there were thoughts if they should trade Joe Burrow to try to get that first overall pick and take Trevor Lawrence. I remember that was a conversation a lot of people were having. Thank God they didn't. Not to take anything away from Trevor Lawrence, right, but Joe Burrow's looking like the best quarterback in the NFL.
He is. Now. He's that, to me, Patrick Mahomes, who is the old guy now at 27, 28, whatever he is.
Younger than me. Oh, my God.
But he's not that the next generation person to face a football to me. It is Joe Burrow.
I agree.
He's that next quarterback that's, you know, the paint man. He's going to be that household name, if he isn't already,
mm-hmm,
of, oh, that's the quarterback of football, basically.
Yes.
That's the face of the NFL. It's going to be Joe Burrow, just like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were.
Exactly. Joe Cool. You brought up the Eagles. They are advancing into the conference championship in the NFC, and they'll be taking on the 49ers. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break now so I can get into that on the other side of this? Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Out of Bounds with Matt Frieda here on your hometown station, KHTS FM 98.1 AM 1220. Be right back. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome back. Out of Bounds with Matt Frieda here on your hometown station, 12:51 on this Thursday afternoon. I hope you have some fun weekend plans. Like I mentioned earlier, we had Jesse Munoz in the studio, the sports information director from College of the Canyons. You could check out some of their spring sports that are going to be rolled out here in the next couple of weeks. So be sure to go over to COC and check out the Cougars play. We were talking about the NFL playoffs before we went to break, and we're going to continue that. First, we were talking about the AFC, Bengals, and the Chiefs. Now we're going to get into the NFC. And we kind of discussed a little bit about the Philadelphia Eagles, who will be taking on the San Francisco, really, what is it, Santa Clara 49ers, yeah, right?
Not even in the city.
No, it's crazy. I can't stand that. I mean, I get it. It's hard to build a stadium in a big city like that, but, I mean, like they're in Santa
Clara. They could have done it. They could have done it.
They could have done better. It's better than Candlestick, though, where they were playing.
Oh, yeah, that was that had to go.
That was a dump. Yeah, that was no good. So you got on one side the Philadelphia Eagles, who were kind of the prohibitive favorites entering this season. They have Jalen Hurts in his second year as the starter at quarterback. He has made some tremendous leaps and bounds this year. Very effective quarterback, both passing and using his legs. He's mobile. And the Eagles overall, just a tremendous team, talented on the offensive and defensive line. They acquired A.J. Brown in the offseason, one of the top flight receivers in the league, and then they paired him with Devontae Smith, who they already had in that wide receiver room. And they are apparently coached really well. Nick Sirianni is perfect for that city. I mean, he is a hard-nosed kind of coach. Gives you straight answers, and if you don't like it, he doesn't care. You know, they had a kind of weak regular season schedule, and I think that's why a lot of people kind of took what the Eagles did this year for granted. They ended up 15-3. You know, they rested their starters in their final regular season game of the year. Or I'm sorry, they didn't, but they actually played the third string Giants, and that kind of made a lot of people think the Giants might upset them last week. That wasn't the case at all. I mean, out of the gate, the Eagles jumped all over Big Blue, and they absolutely dominated New York, getting out to a 28-0 lead. They ended up winning, I believe it was 38-7, so not even close. Meanwhile, you got the 49ers, who are on their third quarterback this year, and that quarterback is mystery relevant, Brock Purdy. And I don't say that in a detrimental or in a bad way about Purdy. That's literally what he is dubbed as for having been the final pick in his draft class, and all he's done is won. So far, that's all he does is win. He is undefeated so far in his NFL career. He has played in, I guess it's now 7 or 8 games to this point, won 2 playoff games already. Last week, taking on the Cowboys in what provided one of the most hilarious plays in the NFL that you'll see. I mean,
what were they doing?
I don't know. I mean, desperation.
Come on. I mean, yeah, you know they're going to do the okie doke, the, you know, pass it here and there, the laterals. But the
schoolyard BS, as they call it.
Having Zeke Elliott be the center with nobody on the line.
You got trampled.
Look at what happened with the Colts. And Pat McAfee, he goes on saying the worst play. He said, thank you, Cowboys. We no longer have the worst play ever.
Yeah, the funny thing is Pat McAfee, who has a great podcast, said about that play is the difference between the one we ran, and it was a play the Colts tried running against the Patriots maybe 6 years ago, where they had one guy under center snapping the ball to Pat McAfee, and the rest of the team lined up to the right of the hash marks near the sideline. He said in this interview this week, the difference between our play and this one by the Cowboys is that we never intended to snap the ball. The Cowboys actually did, and Zeke got ran over like a train. By the way, he is looking like he might be on his way out. I don't know his contract is, but he does not run the same way anymore.
No way. Pollard took his job. Just unfortunately got hurt.
Right. Suffered a pretty serious leg injury, so hopefully he'll be back soon. He's great for my fantasy team this year. But, yeah, the Cowboys, you know, a couple of self-inflicted wounds, interceptions from Dak Prescott, and the 49ers go on to win what was a pretty close game, and they'll take on the Eagles. It's tough for me to go against Brock Purdy. You know, you kind of go with the hot hand, and, you know, the Niners, I think, collectively are as good as the Eagles talent-wise. I think the Eagles have the edge at quarterback, but I can't even say that with total surety, because I mean, look at what Brock Purdy's done. He hasn't lost in the NFL yet. And when he was doing it in the regular season, and I said it on one of the previous shows, he kind of is a game manager. The defense is so stout for the 49ers. They have playmakers on offense. They really are just asking him to not lose them the game. Well, that's not really been the case in his first two NFL playoff games so far. He has gone out and made some really big throws, some really big plays that have played a huge hand in them winning. Honestly, my pick for this is tough. I am going to go with the Eagles simply because I think Jalen Hurts is going to make a couple of really big plays. I think Brock Purdy is capable of that, but maybe the stage is going to be a little too big, especially in the very hostile Philadelphia. Hopefully there'll be no snowballs being thrown. I haven't checked the weather conditions, and I'm hoping at security they're checking to make sure no one's bringing in batteries. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can look up Philadelphia sports fan history. They're also not too fond of Santa Claus out there, but regardless, it's a very hostile environment. And I think it's the Eagles to lose at this point. The Niners have obviously had a really good season. It's going to be interesting to see what they do next year at the quarterback situation and who they roll with. But I think it's going to be the Eagles, and I think it's going to be the Bengals in this year's Super Bowl. So hot take for you there. Either way, should be a very fun weekend of conference championship games. Thank you so much for listening to Out of Bounds here on your hometown station, KHTS FM 98.1. Peace.